Welcome to the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. My name is Mauricio, and with me as always is my amazing co-host, Tyler.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you believe we're on episode 16, Mauricio?
Man, 16 episodes, guys. That's almost 30, not quite. And that's when we'll end. All right, that's when we'll stop.
16 is almost 30.
Yes. No, I mean, man, so many episodes, so little time. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in every single week. You guys are amazing. The Patreon Grizzly fam is growing, Tyler.
Yes. Yeah, we have actually a new member this week.
New Patreon member.
So we gotta give it up for Chris L. coming through, supporting us on Patreon. You are the man.
So his Instagram handle is at pretzelmonkey9000. He always posts stories. He's always traveling, which is funny. And he's always posting stories from the airport or from his apartment or from wherever. So if you just want to chuckle, if you want a good laugh, go ahead and follow him. He's an awesome guy. Longtime listener. Loves the podcast. So thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. You are the man. That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, and for our shout-outs this week, we are going to be doing something. We all know about the events that happened last couple weeks, and so we want to do our part in supporting African-American-owned businesses. And so we are in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Yes, we are.
All right, the spaghetti state.
Is that what they call it?
No, but I'm... I don't know. What is Pennsylvania famous for?
Pennsylvania, I would say...
We're the something state.
We're famous for Philadelphia, I would say.
Oh, brotherly love?
Yeah.
Hospitality?
Yeah, I think it's brotherly love.
Farming? Corn?
Yeah, farm. A lot of farms.
A
lot of corn. Yep. So all the exciting stuff, really. All the cool ones, I think.
So, anyway, lots of rest. We love food at the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. We love food. And so we said, you know what? Let's shout out some restaurants that are owned by amazing, amazing people. And so the first one is Patriot Kitchen, and that's going to be at 1327 West Chew Street in Allentown, PA, 18102. And they are an awesome restaurant. Next restaurant we want to shout out, if you like Caribbean food the way I love Caribbean food.
And so, I know you like Caribbean food.
Jerk chicken, rice, beans, it's just amazing.
Bro.
Ron's Caribbean Cafe, and that's going to be at 5726 North Broad Street in Philadelphia. So our Philadelphia listeners, because we know you're out there, if you want to get some good Caribbean food, go ahead and check out Ron's on 5726 North Broad Street in Philly. And then we have Showcase Barbecue.
All right. Oh.
That's going to be in Pittsburgh. This guy's barbecue, man, it looks awesome on Instagram.
I don't think that it gets any cooler than Parrot Kitchen, Robin's Caribbean Cafe, and Showcase Barbecue. That sounds like a stellar lineup, Mauricio.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they've got food, they've got happiness, and they've got just like an overwhelming amount of barbecue sauce at Showcase, from what I can tell on Instagram. So that's going to be at 6800 Frankstown Avenue in Pittsburgh. We know that. Let me think. Who's in Pittsburgh? Oh, you know what? Pineapple Pizza Band.
Yeah, that's
They're in Pittsburgh. So, guys, we know you're in Pittsburgh. Go check out Showcase Barbecue. All right, and go eat some.
We got listeners in Philly. We need you to hit up Ron's Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
We got listeners out in Pittsburgh. We got to hit that Showcase Barbecue. I think Mauricio and I will just make a trip out to Allentown and hit that Parrot Kitchen. Okay.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Ugh. All right, guys. So, man, I feel like this last couple weeks have been... I mean, 2020 needs to chill, all right?
2020 is like hyperactive.
It's ridiculous. We all know about, obviously, the things that have been happening on, you know, the last couple weeks about the racial injustice that happened and the death of George Floyd, as well as the death of Ahmaud Arbery and so many others that have kind of, you know, they've lost their lives due to, you know, just gross incompetence and people that have, you know, obviously are just evil. And, you know, we hold them accountable, obviously, for what's happened. And I think that the world right now is just grieving, with pain, you know, they're hurt. And this is literally something that has gone unchecked. And I think right now we're just seeing the effects of grieving people, mourning people for these amazing individuals. And, you know, I think as a podcast, you know, it was our really just our responsibility to post. It was our responsibility to talk about it on Instagram. You know, but there's just so much more that you can really do if you want to reach out to the community. And obviously, you can do protesting, you can do all that. But I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, be a light, be positive, be encouraging. You know, obviously, don't go on Facebook and be a troll. You know, that's going to be the worst thing you can do just because you have a opposite opinion of someone.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, just be a light in this place, because I think that a lot of people are dealing with just stress and anger and, you know, feelings that are hurt. And, you know, you may say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And I think that that's the biggest kind of indicator that maybe we don't need to do anything as much as we need to listen. Listen to your friends, listen to your family, listen to the people that are affected by this, and, you know, work amongst yourselves what the best avenue is.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, we look around the world and there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of anger and frustration, and a lot of that is very much warranted. And I think that it's normal to have these stressful feelings, you know, and Mauricio and I definitely are not trying to sit here and pretend we're experts or anything. But what we do know for sure is that you have an option, I think, to add to negativity in the world, or you have an option to add to positivity and to love and to grace, you know, like the podcast name says. So just, you know, that's the decision we have to make this week and every week going forward as we kind of just heal as a country is, you know, are we going to add to the positivity? Are we going to listen to someone that maybe needs to be heard? Because I think, you know, Mauricio, what was that quote that you mentioned earlier?
Well, I think it was Martin Luther King that said, you know, rioting is the language of the unheard. And people are going unheard, and people are going feeling that, you know, I've never been listened to before. And as much as we like to say, yeah, we listen, or yeah, we have, you know, we're not racist, or we're not this, or we're not that. It's really not about you. It's about our community as a whole. It's about our world community. It's about, you know, our Black brothers and sisters that don't feel the same love. And I want you guys to really think about this, is that maybe you think, well, I don't know, you know, the avenue right now. I don't know what to do. I'm not. Guys, don't be ashamed of the avenue you've chosen to, you know, maybe you post on Instagram. Maybe you go to a protest. Maybe you, you know, reach out to people. Guys, change has many avenues. And whatever avenue you pick, it's just good that you're doing something. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Again, me and Tyler are not experts, but we definitely, you know, have friends that love the fact that we do our podcast and love the fact that we'll talk about just anything. And, you know, it's not a political issue. It's a humanity issue.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Definitely. I think, you know, if there's one thing you do going forward this week is, because I'm sure everybody seems to be fired up about, you know, one way or the other. And that's how a lot of these kind of issues go. You know, when one person's standing on this side being irritated about this and somebody's on the other side being irritated about something else. And I think it's really important. Mauricio and I try our best to see all sides of these discussions and these conversations. So I would just, I would invite anybody this week, you know, even if it's going to be hard, to try to see the other side.
Yep.
Try to see the other person's perspective, because you may not understand it and you may think that you have their perspective all figured out, but I guarantee you don't. You know, people don't typically act out just because they're bored. Yeah. As much as we might like to think, you know, oh, boredom leads to trouble, like that might be true, but a lot of times people will act out, and people, you know, when they don't have the help or the love or the respect that they feel like they need, that's where a lot of these emotions come from. So just try to see the other side, guys.
That's good. Yeah, guys. So to kind of shine a light on some amazing things that are happening in the world, we're going to jump into our next segment.
Yes. Our nightly news.
What?
Guys.
Nightly news.
This is our 16th nightly news.
I'm telling you.
And it's a good one.
Yes.
So the first story we have, and this is a hugely positive story. So Crayola crayons, we all are familiar with Crayola crayons. We've probably been using them ever since we were in, you know, kindergarten, preschool, right? Crayola crayons has issued a line of crayons based on the skin colors of the world.
Wow. I always, always thought of the kid that had like the 64 pack or the 124 pack. I'm like, you're the worst. I've got like the 8-pack or the 12-pack. I don't have the, like, do you remember how it would come in this giant box and you'd open up the box and there's like the really good ones, they had a sharpener on the back of them. And the kid was always like showing off, I can sharpen my pencil, my crayons. And dude, I'm like, get out of here.
Writing utensils and crayons and stuff was like, that was like the thing you showed off in middle school or like, you know what I mean?
It's ugh,
oh my man. Gosh. Well, we got a pretty solid list here. I would say there's what, like 40 of these?
Yeah, it's awesome. I love
24.
I love the fact it's called Colors of the World. And it's every skin tone, you know, and shades in between. And even if they don't have yours, you can probably mix a couple to get to your color. I think it's awesome. Me and Tyler actually decided to see what color we were.
Yes.
And forewarning, Tyler has a sunburn right now.
So the question was risen.
Should we use Tyler's sunburn color or should we use Tyler's regular color? And so I think that we were like, all right, let's do both. So obviously my natural pigmentation at this point, I'm looking at the list and it looks like I'm medium almond. That's what it says. Medium almond.
Yes.
You know, and if I go in the sun in Miami for a long time, then I'm definitely deep golden.
Deep golden. Yeah.
So we're going to post this on the Instagram hopefully, and we'll show kind of you guys and you can maybe pick your color. But Tyler,
I'm probably in general a bit of a light golden myself, but I would say right now a good portion of my skin is a medium deep rose because of that sunburn that I
medium deep rose. All my white friends out there, you know it stinks when you reach for the bottle of sunscreen and it's expired. You know, yeah.
What's worse is when you just don't remember that you're supposed to put it on.
Yeah,
because you're so excited to get out in the sun. You're at the beach, right?
Oh, yeah.
You jump out, you're in the water, you're just playing around, and you forget. Like an hour later, you're like, I don't think I put any sunscreen on.
Oh yeah,
dude, bad outcomes. Bad outcomes.
Yeah. So, man, shout out to Crayola. You guys are awesome. I'm so excited that you guys decided to put amazing colors, you know, of the people of the world on the Crayola. Now I can color my family the correct way. You know,
right.
And I think that it's awesome.
I don't have to use the yellow crayon.
Yeah, or the orange.
Or the, you know, orange or the mix in the... Yeah, come on. This is the way to go right now.
That's right. Oh, man. So shout out to Crayola. You guys are an awesome company. We appreciate you guys doing your part. So
yeah, definitely, man. Like a positive story that came out of this time. And so, yeah, another positive twist. I would say a lot of the stories we've had lately have been positive twists on some negative things, which I love. I think that we're trying to see the positivity in the world, right?
Yep.
And one of the big things that we've all been dealing with and struggling through is this coronavirus time, right?
Rona
is out there. But I think we're getting through it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a really funny story about a Finnish baker who actually started selling novelty toilet paper roll cakes.
He's on a roll.
He's on a roll.
All right. That was my one pun. You know how hard it is to craft these puns.
There's always one.
All right. So, yes, he's on a roll. Awesome baker decided to bake a cake that looks like a toilet paper roll.
Yeah. I think it's funny because on an average, you know, day in the life, I would never want to eat a cake that looks like toilet paper. Like,
well, clean toilet paper. No, even then.
Well, what if you're like eating it like a cake with a little bit of brownie on the side?
Oh, stop.
I'm just
saying. Is it a chocolate cake? That makes this whole thing
That's a good question.
Worse or better? I don't know.
And is the cardboard tube in the middle actually cardboard or is that edible? I hope it's edible.
I don't know, man. But I guess he was really dealing with, you know, because a lot of small businesses, they're dealing with this coronavirus. They're not allowed to open or, you know, take out. And it's hard for bakers, too, to do takeout because it's like, well, you know, usually that's like a restaurant thing, but bakers, I'd like to see a cake before I buy it kind of thing. So they're definitely, you know, struggle through that. But man, he was able to save his business by making a cake that looks like a roll of toilet paper. That's
genius.
Awesome.
It's genius. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take this coronavirus and I'm going to spin it to be out of my advantage. So yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Keep it up, Finland. And let's go toilet paper. Let's get those toilet papers back on the shelves.
That's right.
What do you guys say?
Man.
Dude. Okay. So there's this actually this really other very cool story from this week that we heard about.
Yes.
There's a really unfortunate thing going on with poaching, right? Poaching
rhinos,
is a
yep.
thing in Africa, especially, or South Africa to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
And these beautiful animals are, you know, I think endangered, I'm pretty sure, highly endangered.
Yep, and they're taking their horns.
Yeah, these poachers are, you know, going around.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad. Yep. But there was this really cool story about this group of people that trained these packs of dogs to actually, like, catch poachers.
Dude, imagine if you are one of these dogs and you were trained to bite poachers. I mean, I just think it's amazing. I think... Listen, poachers are the worst. You guys get these poor rhinos, you take their horn, you leave them alone. I'm such a big advocate for going against poaching because I feel like these beautiful animals, you're literally taking their horn and then you're just dropping them off, you know, because a lot of times you'll just leave them on the side of the road with, you know, big hole in their face, and it's the worst.
It's very sad.
But man, these dogs are the real heroes. They're going out, you know, Lassie's going out and tearing some poacher butt out there,
dude, for real.
Yeah, so man, they train them.
Yeah, they train them. It's a pack of beagles and bloodhounds and a few other breeds, and they train
beagles
them. Dude, I know, that's what I'm saying.
What the heck?
Beagles are like secretly, I think, hunting dogs or something, and you wouldn't think, like, they look so cute and kind of like floppy, and then you're like, whoa, these guys are catching poachers,
dude.
It's wild.
That's awesome. And I met some pretty chubby beagles. Bloodhounds too, they're real saggy. They're the saggy ones of the animal kingdom.
It's so crazy.
So they're trained to protect since birth, and then these hounds begin their important work.
Yeah,
wow, dude. So that's awesome.
To give you some numbers, it said their efforts have helped law enforcement in the region catch unprecedented 145 poachers and confiscate 53 guns.
Dude,
it says they've saved 45 rhinos and counting. Dude, like, these dogs are heroes.
My gosh, how much does a rhino weigh? Now I'm just curious. Oh my gosh, dude, I'm just trying to find out how much rhino they've saved in poundage.
How many pounds of rhino has these dogs saved?
That's crazy.
Since their time in active duty.
225,000 pounds of rhino have been saved by these dogs.
Wow.
Man, oh, that's awesome.
That's a lot of rhino.
Yeah. Oh, man. But anybody that's working, you know, I know there's a company called VetPaw, and they actually are veterans, like trained veterans from the UK, from, you know, the British Special Forces, and from America. And they all come to Africa, and they all actually do special operations for the wildlife refuge, you know, and the kind of like the reserves that are out there for the rhinos. And I think that it's awesome that these guys that come out of the military are now able to, like, patrol and use their skills, but to save rhinos. So I think that's VetPaw, and they're kind of cool. You can follow them on Instagram as well. But yeah, man, that I think that's awesome.
Yeah, guys, definitely check that out. That's a really cool organization. And, you know, you got to give it up for these vigilante dogs, you know, going out there fighting crime, just taking down the bad guys.
Doing what they do.
You know, speaking of vigilantes, when I say vigilante, Mauricio, like, what's one example?
I want to say Batman.
Bingo.
My gosh.
Yeah, he's like the ultimate vigilante, right?
Yep.
He dresses up in a suit. He goes out there, he fights crime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we actually have some firsthand intel.
Ooh.
That we have seen Batman on the scene, actually in Philadelphia, in the middle of this rioting.
Yep. So a guy, one of the protesters, he dressed up as Batman and got to Philadelphia. And he is literally walking the streets, you know, being part of the protest. I guess it's almost like, here's the thing. These protests are nuts. People are getting hurt. You know, we kind of spoke on that, but I think that somebody that comes out in a Batman suit, I think he's the kind of person that like I want on my side, you know?
And you see in these videos, it seems like the crowd's just kind of clear as they see him.
As they see him, they're just like, that's Batman.
I think there's something ingrained in us as humans if we've seen a Batman movie, it's kind of like, okay, you don't stand in the way of that guy.
Yes.
You know, like you don't get in that guy's way.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that, you know, he just decided to dress up and he decided to, you know, roam the streets as Batman. And he's literally, I don't know if he's doing anything, but he's... And then there was a Joker later on that joined him, too.
Oh, he was creepy. He was a good Joker.
Yep. So, that's what's happening. Oh, man.
Yeah.
This nightly news is just something else, dude.
You just never know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? You just never know what's going to happen.
Let them be, man. Yep. They want to be heroes. You either die a hero or live long enough to be a villain, I think.
I think that's true.
Yep.
I think we all want to be a hero in our own way.
There you go.
Yeah, man. So that actually brings us up to quick questions.
Ooh.
If you can believe it.
Dude. Here we go.
I think we have a couple Instagram questions this week.
We do. The usual suspects.
Okay. Yeah, Alicia has written in again. Thank you, Alicia, for being one of our awesome supporters.
Woo!
She has written in and she's asking us, what state haven't you visited but you want to?
So, for me, all right, it's a strong tie. I love Arizona. I wish I could visit Arizona. Never been to Arizona. Mm-hmm. Mainly because it just seems like my kind of heat. I like dry heat. You know, I like dry heat. I also like, you know, the canyons and like all that stuff. I like that because I think it's super cool. Mm-hmm. You know, how large and how vast canyons can be and how you can just kind of hike up there and see it. I love that. And Seattle. I think Seattle is like, it's just one of those places I want to visit, you know? So I know it was like state, but I just think like Arizona for me, amazing. I want to see Seattle. It's just awesome. Those two places are awesome.
Oh, definitely. Those are very cool ones. So I was actually on the border of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
During like in high school, I went on a trip to New Mexico. And I was actually right on the border, and I got to see some of those very cool, like, very huge canyons.
Mm.
And I will say, like, that, even just for a minute, got to see it, like, that was beautiful and amazing.
Yeah.
To see that scenery.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't blame you there.
My gosh.
What about Seattle? What would be exciting?
Well, I like Washington State, you know, as a whole. Like, I think it's just a cool vibe. I think I love coffee so much.
Yes, yeah.
That just like the idea, like our ideal thing is like, hey, we're gonna hang out at a coffee shop, it's gonna be raining, we're gonna be, you know, so like I love that about Oregon. I just love that whole Pacific Northwest vibe.
Definitely.
But what's your state, man? I'm curious about what your state is.
So I think mine, and this is, I don't know if this is a place where I would want to live or not, maybe we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to visit and take in a little bit of California.
Right.
So I haven't spent any time in California.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be awesome. I'm not like super into showbiz or like movies and stuff and TV, but I think it'd be amazing to just experience LA a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just kind of take in some of that scenery and some of the, you know, some of the beaches, just some of the like classic beaches where, you know, it's like, that would just be really cool to experience some of that scenery that is so sort of revered, you know.
Yeah, it's revered. I think it's, you know, like there's so much romance to the idea of LA. There's so much like, you know, this is where the beautiful people are and all that stuff. And I think it would be nice to visit LA. I'd love to see San Diego. I'd love to see you know, I'd love to see like kind of the cities that are more maybe closer to Mexico and see how the food changes as you go Southern California all the way up to Northern California. I think it's awesome. I think that all those things are super cool to think about because it's such a big state.
It is. I think one of the cool things about California is just that, like, you know, I don't think about when you think of California, you typically think of, you know, San Diego, you know, LA, that kind of like the cities, mm-hmm. but there's so much other land there that's not cities. And right. I think it's really beautiful.
Yeah. There's wine country.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All right. From what I've heard, there's wine country but it's crazy how you can grow grapes and grow really good coffee. And like, you know, there's like rocky terrain and mountainous terrain. And then as you go down, you see the beach. And then as you go even further, it gets super hot. Like, it's just crazy that because it borders all these states, you can see essentially like an entire like climate change from one side to the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So I like California. I want to visit one day.
So when we go on our countrywide tour,
yes,
we'll have to make sure we hit Seattle, Arizona, oh, yeah. California. Probably not in that order. That wouldn't make much sense. But we will do it.
We'll do it. We'll do a big triangle.
We'll do it.
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome. Hey, so we actually got another Instagram question.
Woo!
From Pues Tacos.
Yes, our buddies. We talked
about, I think, last week or the week before.
Yep, they are killing it, man. They're still going. They're doing $2 Tuesday tacos. And they're just killing it. So shout out to Eddie and Pues Tacos.
Yeah, shout out to Pues Tacos. And so the question that Pues Tacos is asking is Adidas or Nike?
This is hard. I'm going to say Reebok. No, I'm just kidding. No one ever says Reebok. I feel Reebok is like the rejected brand. Who really wears Reebok besides CrossFitters now? Because I think they're big on CrossFit. And
yeah.
Curlers.
Reebok, is Reebok like the poor man's Adidas?
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
It's like the weird check. It's not a check. It's like a square with two. I don't know who designed it. But,
right.
All right, my personal choice, I think we both agree on this. I think we're going to say Adidas.
That's where I'm landing.
I like Adidas, man. But here's the thing. When I was younger, it was all about Nike. I love Nike.
Right.
You know, Jordan was, you know, big on Nike. I think just like the idea was just like Nike had the Air Force Ones that were super cool, which right. I liked. let me think what else. Nike was just like it was it. For a long time, as far as sporting, as far as everything else. But then Adidas kind of snuck in the last couple of years.
Right. I think when it comes to basketball shoes,
mm-hmm.
maybe Nike can't be beat.
Right.
Right? Because you can't beat Jordans and Air Force Ones. Like, yeah. It's just too cool. Mm-hmm. So maybe they have an edge there. But I will say, like, I think if I'm picking clothes or mm-hmm. socks or shirts or something, maybe I would kind of go with Adidas.
Yeah, I like Adidas. They've got a comfy polo. They've got comfy shoes. I love their shoes. I switched over. Renee got me a pair of like Ultra Boost Adidas, and they're great. And
got it.
I love them. But I just sometimes when I work out, I like the Nikes because they're already broken in. But I feel like the Adidas, they've got like this wide design to them that I like because I've got a wide foot. So like it's a nice.
There you go.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I like Adidas. I like the three stripes, simple, clean, minimalist design. Yeah. Nike's kind of, it's got the check mark, super cool, but meh.
I think I have a pair of, they're sort of like, they're running shoes for me, but they're kind of almost like cross training shoes.
Yes.
You know how you can kind of get like running shoes or you can get like lifting
yep.
feet shoes or yeah, whatever, but you can kind of get like.
The lift foot.
Yeah. And then you can kind of get like a cross training shoe in the middle.
Yep.
I think I have a pair of Adidas shoes like that. And dude, they're awesome, man. And they've lasted me years.
Yeah.
And they're mad comfortable too.
Yeah. Also, Adidas brought up Yeezys. Like they were the backing for Yeezys. So nobody really thought Kanye's design was going to make it. And then Kanye decides to say, okay, well, I can make the ugliest shoes and you guys would still buy it. And
lo and behold,
they became it. They became the style. And I think that that just tells you, like, if you really believe in a product, it'll come out and people will either buy it or not buy it. So I feel like fashion is kind of like that. Like something that you think is hideous. If enough people wear it, you're like, man, maybe I should wear that.
That's totally true, man. I mm-hmm. think trends in general are kind of like that, where I've been duped so many times with trends where when I first see it, I'm kind of like, oh, that's stupid.
Right.
Why would you want that? Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to like that. And then it sinks in. You see other people doing it.
Yeah.
And you see other people who look cool doing it. And you're like, okay, wait, actually, that's pretty cool. I think I need those shoes, you know?
Think about fanny packs.
That's the truth.
You're like, oh, I don't want to wear these. I still don't. I refuse to wear one. But I've seen a couple guys. And I'm like, Now think about this. Fanny pack or Like when you're running, do you take a fanny pack with you, or do you or do you put your keys in your basketball shorts?
That's a really tricky question. I think I went for a run a couple weeks ago with my keys. I usually don't take them.
Mm-hmm.
And I held them in my hand the whole time because there's no comfortable way to bring them.
Really?
Yeah. I was like in gym shorts.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to, I mean, you put them in your pocket, they're jingling around. That's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I think the fanny pack might be useful there.
Yeah, I think fanny pack is functional. I just don't think it's fashionable, but that's just me. I mean, you know, if you wear a fanny pack while you run, I'm making fun of you right now. And yes. So, you know, fanny pack.
I think we should do a question on the most hated trends.
Yes.
I think that's maybe in the near future, because I can think of a couple that people hated and then it got popular.
Dude.
All right, Mauricio. So, when's your birthday?
May 5th.
May 5th. Right,
Cinco
right.
de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just passed.
Yep.
So, the question is, we are answering now, is what is the perfect birthday celebration for you?
So, for me, and I've done this for years, it's a two-part. All right, it's a two-part, okay? The perfect celebration, I think, is fishing trip in the morning, you know? Or, you know, go to the beach, go to the pier, fish off the pier, find, you know, a canal where you can actually catch fish. And then Marvel movie, because Marvel movies have always come out in May. In the beginning of May, for years, since Iron Man 1 came out.
Wow.
So every year around my birthday, a new Marvel movie came out. So the Avengers comes out in May, all the parts of the Avengers, and Thor came out, and like all these movies came out on my birthday. And so my perfect birthday celebration is fishing in the morning, or, you know, hanging out with friends and fishing, and then at night going to watch a Marvel movie with, you know, Renee and whatever. So yeah, that's, to me, that's perfect. I've done that for years, but now there's not, like, there's no Marvel movies. we were in quarantine, which was like, you know, so I couldn't do any of those activities. But yeah, that's my perfect birthday celebration.
That's very specific. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you think they put those movies out in May because they knew it was your birthday?
Absolutely.
Wow. Oh, man, that's really cool. Okay, so mine's not quite as specific, but I will say my birthday lands in October.
Yep.
So it's right in the heart of fall time activities.
Spooky, spooky.
And if you, like me, grew up in the northern, you know, hemisphere or whatever, northern part of the United States.
Yes.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of fall time activities. It gets a little chilly. You can go out, you can apple pick, right? you can do a hay bale ride on the back of a tractor. You could do a corn maze. I mean, these are just all the
Dude, I love corn mazes.
Yes.
I love them. I get lost in them sometimes, but I love them.
What about haunted houses?
No.
Not so much?
No, because I don't like getting scared, Tyler.
I'll be honest. There's some crazy haunted houses out there.
Yeah.
Especially like in some, like, you know, you kind of just go to like redneck town, like, you know,
Dude.
It's like, hey, we're putting on a haunted house. And like they have real chainsaws and it gets crazy.
And if you're a redneck out there, we mean that in the most affectionate way.
Oh, absolutely. I say that because I grew up
absolutely
in a very redneck area.
Yeah. So you can say it. You're like, listen,
I think I'm allowed.
Yeah. And literally, because of the sunburn right now, your neck is red. no, but yeah, I've definitely I've been to, in the northern part of Florida, I've been to where you can actually get corn.
Yes.
You know, I've been to corn mazes. I love corn mazes. I like hay rides, even though there's always ticks.
Ooh,
you know,
rough, yeah. Gotta watch the ticks.
Dude, ticks are the worst. Lyme disease, the worst.
Not good.
But yeah, I love fall time, man. It's probably, now that I moved up here, it's neck and neck with summer. Because,
wow.
Yeah, I know. Because I like the idea that, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, it's nice. So, yeah.
Mauricio, so growing up in Florida,
mm-hmm.
How much of the things I was just talking about would you say you had? I feel like apple picking might not have been in Florida.
No, we had mango picking.
That's so cool.
we had mango. It was literally a season where we just stole mangoes from our neighbor's yard. All right.
I love hearing about your upbringing because I'm just like, man, that's so cool. Like,
sweet tropical fruit just hanging out.
But do you have pumpkins? Did you carve pumpkins?
No.
Okay. See, that's interesting. Okay.
Nope. Never carved a pumpkin.
I know my brother lives in Florida now,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying it's really hard to get a real Christmas tree. They're very expensive.
Yep.
So
yeah, we usually do plastic down there because it's just the easier route.
Right.
Cool trend that's been going actually is black Christmas trees. And then you do the like the tinsel and all this stuff on it. It's really like a Pinterest thing. Like Pinterest people are like, you know, oh my gosh, look at my Christmas tree. It's all beautiful and black like my soul. And I'm like, come on. All right. What else is next, guys? What else is next?
Exactly. What's next? When you first said black Christmas trees, I was thinking like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ooh, like
This is Halloween.
That's such an underrated movie too.
Exactly. That's a good one.
Yep.
All right. So we got our final quick question here, Mauricio. Mm-hmm. And this is, if you could live anywhere for 1 year, and you know, it's not like you have to stay there forever, but you get one solid year to live somewhere unique, where would you pick and why?
So I'm going to say Colorado. And why I say Colorado is because if I'm going to get a year, I love the fact that it's only going to be a year because I don't think I could live in Colorado for a very long time.
Sure.
But I like, now that I've been up here, I realize why seasons are so like important and they're so beautiful is because you actually have like an anticipation for like, okay, like once the snow melts, like, and spring happens, like it's beautiful.
It is.
And I've seen, you know, a buddy of mine, Jeff lives in Colorado and he's always posting pictures of hiking and like crystal clear streams and like, I'm like, what the heck? And then like the grass is the greenest I've ever seen in Colorado. So definitely if I had to spend a year somewhere, I'd probably go Colorado or even maybe like a Montana kind of area just to, you know, experience that whole like winter and experience that whole, you know, kind of area. Cause I didn't grow up with it. So it'd be nice to experience that for a year.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that one too, because it's like, I know Colorado can get pretty cold.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe it's not the place you want to live forever, but it would be so cool to experience it for a year or two.
Yeah, like in Denver or something, you know, like hang out in Denver and see, you know, see a Denver Broncos game and like, you know, you're freezing, but like it's fun, you know, like that kind of stuff. So
that's a cool one. So I was thinking Japan.
Oh, back to Japan.
And I don't know that I would know exactly where in Japan I would want to live, whether it be kind of like in one of the cities or whatever, but pretty much exclusively because I want to try all the food.
Yes.
Pretty much exclusively.
That's really why you travel.
That's really why I would go anywhere. So.
Does it get cold in Japan? I feel like it does. I
think it definitely can get cold in Japan, and I think they get snow.
Yeah.
I think Japan's really neat, and especially with their cuisine. I like that. Because it is sort of it's an island.
Mm-hmm.
And so they use a lot of seafood in their dishes.
Yes.
They do it in such an elegant way that it doesn't, you know, it's not like fishy. It's like they've learned to like use these fishy ingredients in a way that is just like
clean,
so approachable,
crisp,
clean and fresh. And it is awesome.
Yeah.
The little bit of food that I've had. So I would love that. I think that Japanese culture is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be really cool to visit Tokyo.
Yeah.
And just see that.
I think there's like a tranquility there too. Like there's like a peace in certain parts where you're just like, wow, like this is it. You know, especially like when the cherry blossoms come in and when all that stuff. I think that, you know, and the culture there's very respectful.
Yeah, it's very hardworking, very driven, very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very cool. Yeah, I would love to experience that culture for a little bit.
Yeah, I think language barrier though.
Oof, that'd be rough.
Dude, you better get those Google headphones that translate for you.
That's the truth, man.
Dude.
I better get started on my Rosetta Stone.
Yep.
Wow, we're up to our righteous reviews.
Righteous.
This week, we are reviewing our people we admire.
Man, this was tough.
This was tough.
You go ahead first, because I feel like you admire your friend more than I admire mine. Well, we'll talk about your friend.
All right. I feel like I have to make a case for my friend, because the person that I picked that I said that I admire, and hear me out, okay? Hear me out already.
Just full disclosure, Mauricio does not like this person. for other reasons.
This presents me a unique challenge because I have to plead my case. So the person I chose, I wanted to go. There's plenty of people in my family and friend groups who I admire deeply.
Right.
I wanted to pick someone that everyone could relate to.
He didn't want
to
pick me.
Mauricio was the obvious choice, but I thought, no, they'll think I'm faking it for the podcast. So I'll just, I'll pass on that.
Okay.
So I picked Gordon Ramsay. And if you don't know who Gordon Ramsay is, I'm sure you do, but if you don't, he's a very, very, very famous five-star chef, right? And he's got just the most popular restaurants. He's got like 1,000 cooking shows all over any sort of streaming service you could watch.
Yep.
And he's a very intense personality, which I suspect is maybe part of the reason why Mauricio maybe doesn't like him. Would you say that's correct?
I think Gordon Ramsay. So I like Gordon Ramsay in the shows where he deals with kids.
He's so different.
Yeah, he's so different, man. He's just like, yeah, my thing is more personal. You know, he punched me in the face once. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, like, you were a chef. I'm like, did he have a bad experience?
No, I never met Gordon Ramsay. Oh. I did meet Morimoto, which is like a famous chef. I worked in his restaurant for like 3 weeks.
That's cool.
Japanese food is hard to do.
That was Japanese food?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I bet
Morimoto
it's hard.
Is like, he's like a famous Iron Chef or whatever. And he has a, he has a restaurant in South Beach at the Claiborne. Yeah. And so I worked there for 3 weeks. I couldn't grasp how to do the food, and I'm pretty, I can do.
You're good.
Yeah. I'm good, but that was just a whole different skill set. So, and that's why I stuck to more Italian, imagine. French cuisine. Japanese food was hard to do.
It's so different.
Yeah, it's just different, different rules. Like usually with French cooking, you kind of understand. But anyway, Gordon Ramsay for me, I think that, and it's not his fault. So let me make this clear. It's not your fault, Gordon. But I think that he was really a main reason why a lot of chefs and a lot of people decided to kind of build that angry culture into the kitchen.
Oh.
So they kind of took Gordon Ramsay's like model and said, oh, well, I'm just going to yell at people in my own restaurant. And so my thing is just, I think that his, kind of like F-bombs and cursing, I think that was like my thing where I'm like, well, now this kind of gives other chefs license to just yell at you. True. But him as a person and the way he is with, MasterChef kids and all that stuff, I'm sure that he's a good guy deep down. Deep down.
This is interesting.
Yes.
I feel like we're at a point here. This doesn't happen very often where Mauricio and I have a point at which we don't agree on something. But I will say, I do agree with the things you're saying.
Yes.
He is very intense and he's very
confrontational. Yep.
And that's part of the reason why, like, some of that stuff, I'm like, okay, this is over the top. Part of the reason why I do admire him, though, is that I think that he is, to me, as someone who is a bit of a people pleaser, who maybe I struggle a little bit with confrontation, to see someone who is so willing to confront someone about their issues and about what they're doing wrong and about in a lot of times helping them along the way, I thought that's something I can draw from that like I could be better at.
Right.
Because I think I have a tendency to avoid the issue. Whereas he very much does not have that issue.
Straight to the thing.
He goes straight to the source and he solves the problem. And yeah, he doesn't always do it the best way. But and a lot of it's, I think, for TV too. Like it's a little over the top.
I'd love to know what his Enneagram is or what his Myers-Briggs is. Because like that would be for me. He just sounds like an 8 or something. Like something like very like in your face.
The other thing one of the other reasons I respect him is I will say like he seems extremely passionate about what he does.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely passionate and dedicated to his craft.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's not as good as Mauricio at cooking, I don't think, but he tries.
And that's the thing. I respect his skill. I respect that that craft and what he's honed over years and years and years. I think it's amazing.
He's a jerk.
Nah.
He's a jerk sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. You know who's better than him? Guy Fieri. I'm just kidding. Flavortown. Gosh, he's the most hated person on.
You know who I loved growing up was Emeril Lagasse.
Oh, bam.
Bam. Let's kick it up a notch. Bam.
Let me throw whatever this Bobby Flay. Flay too.
All right, Mauricio.
Anyway.
I want to know who you admire.
So I'm going to say Bear Grylls. And the reason why I say Bear Grylls is because I've watched him, you know, for years, man, and he just doesn't age. I think he's a vampire.
That's true.
But besides that, it's all that like wilderness that he eats.
It must be.
Yeah, I think so. Him, man. And
it's the same with the guy that hosts Survivor.
Oh, really?
He hasn't aged.
Maybe it's the same person. Bear Grylls. No, it's not.
It's the wilderness. It's something about being in the wilderness. Yeah. It keeps you young.
Yeah, I always like Bear Grylls. I think that he's kind of the... there's a show that he does called like Running with Bear Grylls.
Okay.
And he basically like, takes celebrities with him. But I love his like intentionality when he interviews the celebrities as he's opening up like an eel to eat for like dinner. Like he's just like, yeah, we're going to eat this eel. And like, but he talked to Marshawn Lynch, which is like the like one of the strongest, biggest like NFL guys ever. He's a running back. He's just known for like brutality when he runs. And he's talking to him and he's just like listening to his story and giving him, you know, just like the benefit of the doubt with things. And he's just like just caring. And I think that like for someone that knows how to survive in the wilderness and like, you know, do the things that he knows how to do and all that. And then for him to kind of sit down and be like, hey, let's just have a conversation about football when he's from Britain. Like he doesn't really, you know, like he football, American football is whatever. Like he likes, you know, rugby and soccer and all this stuff. Right. But for him to kind of sit down with somebody that's completely out of his wheelhouse, I think it's awesome. So
yeah, definitely respect that.
Yeah.
I really do respect a person who is extremely gifted and skilled in whatever they do, mm-hmm. but is also still very humble.
Yes.
And like, it sounds like that's, you know, Bear Grylls to a T. So that's very cool.
Oh yeah. So man, Bear Grylls and Gordon Ramsay have to get together.
Dude.
You know?
Way to make me look bad.
Wait a minute. I feel like they are on that show.
Are they on a show together?
Yeah, I think we'll watch it.
We're going to have to watch
it. I think he's on the Running with Bear Grylls show. Anyway. Yep.
I feel like you made me look bad because your guy was so nice and cool and my guy's kind of a jerk sometimes.
Yeah, but I respect Gordon Ramsay because he's done something that not a lot of people can do.
Yeah.
You know, like he's done for cooking what Emeril, you know, kind of did and all. But like Gordon Ramsay really put it on the forefront of like, hey, this is cooking as a whole. This is the behind the scenes. So I respect him for that.
Okay.
You know, so.
It doesn't annoy you that everybody, it's kind of like when you like something before it was cool.
Yeah.
Like Mauricio was a chef before it was cool.
Yes.
And then it was on TV everywhere.
Oh my gosh. No, he's been around.
He's been around a while.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. I think he's just got to work on his.
He's over the top. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Maybe I'm just a sissy. That's what it is. No, don't scream at me, Gordon Ramsay. I like, there is one meme that I like where he gets two pieces of bread.
Yes.
And he puts it, like, he puts you between the bread. He goes, what am I? It's like, you're an idiot sandwich. Yeah. Like, I like that. Okay. That's funny.
Oh, it's wild, man.
Stressful.
Yes. It's very stressful. Hey, speaking of stress, we are diving into our deeper dive, which is on the topic of stress this week, Mauricio.
I'm just happy, man, that we're going to do the deeper dive. I think last couple weeks have been awesome with our, you know, we had Isaac on the show and we had Meg was amazing. But man, I just missed talking to you about this stuff. So
yeah, right now you have to hear my crummy ideas as opposed to these rock star people.
Oh my gosh, dude, I love it.
Yeah, but actually no, but in all seriousness, this we watched this TED talk, mm-hmm. and it was about stress.
Yes.
And very so cool. Out of this conversation, the question was sort of arisen, mm-hmm. you know, is stress bad for you?
Yeah.
And I think initially when I hear that question, my gut reaction is to say, well, yeah, stress is bad. Like stress doesn't feel good. You know, it leads to bad outcomes, right?
Right.
Isn't stress what leads people to, you know, drink too much and smoke cigarettes. And
yeah.
So you think like, yeah, stress is bad. But the question that she wrote, that she kind of brought up was like, well, stress isn't always all bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. I think as you kind of dive into the mechanics of stress, because that's really what was the driving factor for me to understand what she was saying. Because when she was talking about stress, I'm like, yeah, I get stressed all the time. Now working in a kitchen, stress has always been a motivator for me. But if for anybody else, that deals with stress in whichever way they deal with stress, I think that, yes, they look at stress as a problem, as something that's like, oh, this is causing me to mess up, or this is, I'm so stressed, I'm so this, I'm so that. And so what she was really touching on really was a two-parter, which is obviously the chemistry of why you're stressed, but the belief of what stress is in your life. So if you believe that stress is bad, she was kind of alluding to the point, and this is Kelly on the TED Talk, and we'll link that, but she's kind of alluding to the fact that if you believe that stress is a bad thing, stress will become a bad thing in your life, right? Which we understand how powerful belief is in general. And so, you know, she talked about that a lot. And so basically, like, my, like, if you kind of, in a nutshell, if you think about the way I think of stress maybe differently, because I worked in a crazy stressful environment and stress was the only way to get things done. And so this, like, you know, the adrenaline, I can't even say that word.
Adrenaline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped with that right now because it's Red Bull. But yeah, I think that factor, when you put that into, you know, just your average American that's, you know, working, you know, 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
They think stress is like, oh no, I'm so stressed out, I have to get rid of this right now. Like, and it causes them to mess up and do that. But really, stress can be a good thing, which is weird. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I think, you know, it comes back a little bit to that sort of fight or flight.
Yes.
You know, reaction that your body has. Mm-hmm. And I think there is like a level of uncomfortableness to when you feel, you know, a lot of stress in your body, because you're feeling these changes. You're feeling your heart rate go up. You're starting to sweat, maybe cold sweats. Maybe your hands are, you know, losing circulation.
Yep.
All these different things, you know, your body changes the way it feels and is acting on the inside. So It's easy to think that that's bad. Yep. But I thought the thing that you touched on that I think is key, and that she talked about a lot in the video, was that it's a lot of how we handle stress and how happy and successful we are in life depends on what we believe about stress.
Right.
So if we believe that it's all bad and that, oh, mm-hmm, I don't like this feeling and I have to eliminate it, and I have to avoid stress and I have to never be stressed again, then we're going to actually perform worse and potentially have negative health outcomes, mm-hmm, when we do experience stress.
Yeah, because stress to me is something that really, it is a negative thing for certain people. But imagine if somebody said, hey, you know, what are you stressed out about? You know, just that question alone is like a negative thing. You're like, oh, what are you stressed out about?
Yeah.
You know, I hear that all the time, you know, from people that maybe see me and they're like, oh my gosh, how are you doing all this stuff at the same time? You know, youth pastoring, work, you know, 40 hours of work, youth pastoring, podcast, father, you know, children. And you're like, oh my gosh, all the stress. But to me, it's different in the sense that it is, I like high pressure situations. But if we break it down for people that don't like high stress situations, I think that, imagine if you become flustered while you're stressed. Imagine if you can take stress and make it into kind of your X factor, into something that can make you better. I think that 90% of the people would be like, yes, I want to do that. I want that stress to go away, or not go away, but I want to use that stress, almost like in judo, where you're able to use the opponent's leverage, you know, against that person. I think if we can kind of unpack this, where, okay, this is how you use stress to your advantage, I think it's good. And it starts with that belief. It starts with, okay, is stress good or bad? If you start to really think, okay, stress is the element that's going to help me get through this thing, as opposed to I'm so stressed out I can't even get up to the door, you know?
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard to flip that mindset, you know, because once you believe something, it's very hard to unbelieve it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, the mind is a crazy place, and it's, mm-hmm, it's a thing that no one's figured out completely. I mean, I don't think we ever will. It's an extremely complex, you know, part of our body and our makeup, but definitely we know, you, mm-hmm, know, there's some pretty hard evidence from this, the video we were watching. Mm-hmm. There's some statistics that say, you know, if you believe, you know, positively about stress,
mm-hmm,
and if you have good mental health,
mm-hmm,
and if you actually, specifically like reach out to other people and have community, you there's like a literal connection between those things and you living longer and being healthier.
Yeah, because she makes the connection where she says, okay, well, your body has a natural way of taking stress and also releasing the oxytocin hormone, which is just, it's a famous hormone because it is what is released during a hug, during embrace, during connection, during human interaction. It's something that when you're stressed out and somebody hugs you, it almost feels like, oh, there's a relief there. And so she makes the connection that your body already naturally produces this hormone during stress. It's a stress hormone. We don't really think of oxytocin, that good feeling that we get when we hug each other or when we're with our wife or, you know, our husband and we're watching a movie and we're cuddling, whatever. We don't, you know, that release that happens, we don't really think of that as a stress because we're not stressed. But because that hormone is also released during stress, that means that we're able to use that to our advantage as opposed to, oh, I'm so stressed out. Because really, when we're stressed out, our heart rate goes almost like our vision is like sharpened. Like you're like, okay, I need to get through this. And so one of the things that our body's built into us is that we can get stressed. And when we get stressed, we feel like we need to, instead of go into yourself and say, okay, I can't be around anybody. I can't actually reach out and say, hey, I'm stressed out about X, Y, and Z to your spouse or to your friend or to, you know, I've been in situations where I'm super stressed and then I'll shoot you a text. I'll be like, hey, dude, I'm just so stressed about this. And instantly I will feel better because I've reached out and kind of shared the burden a little bit with you
100%.
Or with, you know, our pastor or with anybody just kind of saying, hey, you know, and people do it too on Instagram. They post stories about their lives and hey, and they just feel better because they're releasing that stress into Instagram world and now it's out there. And so they feel like, okay, now I can continue my day because that release is there. So yeah, it's definitely kind of cool how your body has a built-in way of flipping the switch as far as stress.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's cool. You were talking about how people use that to reach out for others and how it makes them feel better. Reaching out even on social media or something makes them feel better. I think it's really cool. People get creative. I think one of the things that I've always heard can be positive, and this isn't necessarily a social thing, but it is an expression, is like journaling.
Yes.
You know, people talk a lot about journaling and how just writing your thoughts out and putting them out there
can make you
feel better.
Are more, almost like some people, like I'm very vocal. Like I can communicate. I can communicate my feelings fairly well. And you know, but then some people are more like, I'm going to write you a letter and that letter is going to be deeper almost than what I would be able to say.
Yeah.
You know, my wife is one of those people that sometimes she can't say what she's feeling. And then there's times where she'll sit down and just write it all out. Yeah. And then as I read it, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever read, but that's just how her mind works. And so I think people get frustrated when their communication skills don't line up. And so you're expecting someone else to communicate the way you communicate. And your spouse is like, well, no, I communicate this way. And so there has to be a compromise there. And so like that to me is kind of cool that like, even in journaling, you're kind of releasing stress, but you're also expressing feelings. And so maybe to your point, expression of feelings and expression of who you are and what you're doing and how you're feeling is really important. Express how you feel, you know?
I definitely think it is. I mean, this wasn't necessarily ingrained in the video, but I think we can infer, you know, we talk a lot about community and stuff like that. And I think we can probably infer that like it is important for people to express themselves.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of different avenues and I think it looks different for everyone, how they do it. But that's, you know, part of the reason why we're such big advocates of community.
Yes.
And that, again, that looks different to everybody too. I was thinking about community this week and for me, sometimes I had a moment where I almost felt like a little bit of a hypocrite because I really do believe in the power of community. But then I was sitting here thinking, well, I don't, you know, I'm a little introverted and I'm not always the first person to go join a group of people to do something. But I think I had to talk myself around to the point where I'm like, no, you know what? Community is still an important part of my life. I still right. talk to my wife every day.
Mm-hmm.
I still talk to Mauricio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still have people that I keep in my life. And it may look different to me than it does to someone who's very, yeah. very extroverted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, just being self-aware.
Yeah.
Like all of our listeners, all of our, you know, everybody that's listening, like community is a very important part of life. And we want people to know that you shouldn't isolate yourself to the point where you're missing out on that piece of life.
Yeah. And part of the whole thing of why we bring up stress and why we bring up community is because community is a direct stress relief.
Yeah.
For some people. Now, here's the thing, and this is where we have to kind of understand personalities and how people are. Some people, like myself, I get incredibly energized by being around people.
Yeah.
And some people don't. Some people feel like, you know what, I only want to be around a few close friends, and I need to bank my energy to be around my friends. Some people right. have a banking system where they're like, okay, I'm starting a day with this much energy, and this is what I'm going to use. And, you know, I'm going to use it on going and hanging out with people. And I need this, but sometimes I don't have the energy to do so.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, obviously we have to kind of look at how people react to, but I think as a base value, human connection, being around other humans is vital to everyone.
Yeah.
Being around other humans is like, okay, you know, I need to have a good, whether it's one person or six, mm-hmm. that's what the whole thing is. And I think that when you're, you know, whether it's at a coffee shop with one person and you're just having coffee and you're talking, that's you releasing your stress and saying, okay, I'm letting this out to my one friend. And, you know, then I can go back to my hermit lifestyle. You know, like,
right, right.
You know, like that, you know, that's fine. I think everyone has a different thing, but again, it's about when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling like, okay, I'm stressed and I need to take care of this myself. Maybe what might work is if you reach out to someone.
Yes.
Maybe that might work. Because sometimes you do something so much and you're like, oh, why isn't this working? You just haven't tried the other side of it. So
that was, I think, one of the coolest, if not the coolest point I got from this TED Talk was
right.
her point that what you're saying, what you just said, Mauricio, like literally like people who spend time caring for other people. So mm-hmm. that's me, you know, doing something to care for someone else, being generous, giving my time. Maybe it's just checking in on them.
Right.
But having some sort of community interaction where I am caring for someone else, those people are actually less likely statistically to die during times of stress in their life.
Right.
Which shows me that I think people who are connected in a community of some kind and mm-hmm. are being generous and giving, you know, dedicating time to other people, mm-hmm. like they're healthier people, you know? And
and
if you're healthier, you're going to be happier and you're going to live longer. Like it's actually been shown statistically, which is, it's funny because I think it's the kind of thing that I always felt like I knew was true.
Yes.
But to hear her say that this is statistically true is like a big deal to me, I think.
Yeah. One of the major advantages of in stressful situations, reaching out to someone is that your body actually has a response to releasing the oxytocin, and then your heart rate pumps up. And then your body does this incredible thing where somehow by releasing your stress, and obviously I'm not like a doctor or anything, but your body has this amazing response to releasing your stress to human connection, accepting the oxytocin that's happening in your brain, and somehow that strengthens your heart and your arteries.
It's crazy.
By having that connection with another human being to the point where next time you're stressed, you can handle it better because now you have an outlet and your brain knows and your heart knows, okay, you're feeling stressed, reach out to someone. And when you reach out to someone, that oxytocin kind of releases and you're able to like strengthen your body as a whole. And so like that to me is just crazy because that means that there is a solution to living longer and it's being around people and it's community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, so, woof, it's a lot.
Wow, yeah.
I'm telling you, man, how are we doing on time, Tyler? Are we?
I think we are coming to a close here.
Man, guys.
But it's been a solid episode. You know, I think I needed it. I think I needed it, Mauricio. Yeah, it was good to talk. You know, to your last point there about community, this is part of my community. Yep. I love chatting every other week and mm-hmm. just hearing from our listeners. So you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming out to listen every week and also to, you know, hang out on Instagram.
Yep.
You guys are the best.
Yeah, people have been sending DMs or saying, hey, you know, I'm doing my first therapy session next week. Hey, I'm doing this, or hey, I'm seeing more positivity on people's stories and people just, you know, that are avid listeners, that are people that have, you know, listened and said, man, this has been positive. And I think that's the hope. That's the hope that we're able to kind of bring a little light into your life so that, you know, you don't feel too alone. And I think that's the biggest thing. We're here for you. We want you to feel that you have a community in us, and we're going to keep posting funny memes, and we're going to keep, you know, hitting you up and making sure that, you know, you guys are okay. It's like, man, you send me a text, you know, or a DM, tell me, hey, you're doing all right all the time. I'm like, because you guys have to know, like, you know, like, you guys are going to take this encouragement. All right. Take it.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And we will do this. We will keep doing this because we love it. But we always like to say, you know, at the end of the episode, if you've made it this long, we assume that you probably at least enjoyed it a little bit. Otherwise, maybe you were listening the whole time, just getting excited about how angry you are at us. I don't know. If that's you, I don't know why you'd listen for so long. But if you made it this far, we just want to, you know, throw out there that we do have the Patreon.
Yep.
Again, I want to shout out Chris for coming through and joining.
Big Chris.
Yeah, that is awesome. So if you guys, you know, feel inclined, you know, you can give as little as a dollar, as much as whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really helps us to just keep this thing going. Make sure we have the gear we have, make sure we have the accounts we need and stuff for the podcast. And you guys literally are patrons. Mauricio will tell you, they literally keep us going month to month. So
yep, they're paying the bills.
Yep.
They're paying the bills. Yeah. So guys, listen, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. If you don't have a Graceful Grizzly sticker and you are a patron, hit up our DMs.
Yes.
And even if you're not a patron and you listen every week, hit me up. Maybe I'll send you one. Who knows? Who knows?
Mauricio is like a loose cannon. I'm just
throwing them out there. Hopefully we'll have shirts soon. We've been trying to do that, but we will. All right, guys. We love you. Whoa, that was thunder. Anyway.
Oh, I think that's our sign to stop.
All right. See you guys next.
All right, we love you
guys. A couple
guys.
Weeks. Bye.
See ya.